In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shouting.
Christ is baptized.
He is in our
the people who sat in darkness have seen great light. To them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He also said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The people who sit in darkness still, those anti-Christian voices, say that Christianity is obsessed with sin, especially sins of the flesh, and is busy with judgment and condemnation. And plenty of awful movies and TV shows have been produced over the years, mocking Christians and caricaturing the faith and reveling in portraying Christians as hypocritical and even psychotic, which was a Soviet tactic, actually, come think of it. That the problem people in society are the Christians. We are the problem people, pointing the finger and finding sin in everything. Of course, the world that sees Christianity as obsessed with sin is obsessed with its own sinful pleasures and doesn't want to be told anything or be corrected. It is undoubtedly true that our holy faith takes sin very seriously, and we can find the listing of sins both in the Holy Scripture and in the writings of the fathers. Sin is taken seriously because it holds us back from God. It holds us back from God, from a deeper life with God, from the source of life. And the wages of sin is death. The final payment we get from sin is spiritual death. But we hear the call of Jesus Christ, He who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, the call to repent. To repent. The call to repentance by the Son of God. He who entered the baptismal waters of the Jordan is a sign that He is the answer to sin. He is the answer to sin. He is the cleansing of sin in Himself, in His very self, the renewer of our humanity. And indeed, the Scriptures, the writings of the apostles, and later on the writings of the fathers, are a clear and consistent call to repentance. If the church fathers are obsessed with anything, they are obsessed with repentance. With repentance. Repentance as healing. Repentance as the way out. Repentance as a positive change of mind. As a positive turn of our soul back to God. What does St. Paul say? "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Repentance is a change, a turning of mind. Yes, it's true we have to see our sins in order to repent, but the goal is not simply to meditate on sins, which is to sit in darkness, but to get up and walk to the light, to turn and walk out of the dark place of sin and into the marvelous light of God. Repentance is a Christian preoccupation all year round, even after the great holy days of Nativity and Theophany. We can't wait till Lent. And at that time, we will sing, "The Lenten spring has come, the light of repentance." The light of repentance. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. The people who sat in darkness have beheld the light of Christ and the light of repentance through Jesus Christ. Repentance, brothers and sisters, for each of us, starts quietly with a change of thoughts. A change of thoughts, an altering of our thought patterns. As Father Hopko referred to it as a stinking thinking, that we have to change that stinking thinking in our heads. And from there, a change of behavior will follow. Elder Paisius dealt with a man who had troubles and worries and couldn't sleep and was taking sleeping pills and pills for ulcers and all sorts of things. And he asked the elder if he should get rid of his pills. And the elder said, "First, get rid of the thoughts that trouble you. then you'll be able to get rid of the pills. What good to get rid of the pills while he still has tormenting thoughts, the elder said. So it's where we deal with our, where we are dealt with, where we change our minds is indeed one thought at a time. The elder also dealt with a young man who came to him at his monastery because he had become captive to carnal sin. He had gone to different spiritual fathers and was receiving no help, and he fell into despair. He said, what I am doing is a sin and I can't correct myself and stop doing it, and therefore I will just break with God, make a break. And he told the elder this. And the elder, when he heard that, he said, he felt his pain. He said, look, my good man, never start your struggle with the things you cannot do, but with the things you can do. Don't deal with the things you cannot handle, but the things you can do. Let's see what you can do. Let's start from there. So he asked him, can you go to church every Sunday? Yes, I can, he said. He said, can you keep a fast every Wednesday and Friday? I can. Can you give a tithe of your salary to the church and to charity? And perhaps go to visit the sick and help them? He said, I can. He said, can you pray every night even when you have sinned? Pray every night even when you have sinned and say, oh Lord my God, save my soul. He said, I will do it, elder. So I told him, start doing today all the things you can, and the Almighty God will take care of the one thing you can't. Another similar story from the Yerondakan, from the Desert Fathers. Through the works of the devil, a brother who lived in a small monastic house regularly fell into the sin of lust. But he kept praying, he kept repenting, he kept going to church. And he fell into his sin one night, but immediately he turned at midnight to do his prayer rule. And the devil, who had led the brother into sin, was mad at the hope that of the fact that the sinful brother kept on praying, even though he was sinning. One time, finally, the devil appeared to him, in front of him, while he was trying to pray. He said, you wretch, how do you not become red with shame standing before God? How do you dare to bring the name of God to your lips? You are so brazen that you dare even chant psalms to God. But to these words of the devil, the brother answered, this cell is a forge. You give it a hit with a hammer and receive one. Thus I will continue to fight against you until death. And wherever I may be on the last day of my life, that's where God will judge me. So take heed. Grounding my courage in the limitless goodness of God, I tell you on my oath and assure you that in the name of him who came to call sinners to repentance and to save them, I will not cease to pray to God in defiance of you until you cease to war against me, and we shall see who will win, you or God. Hearing these decisive words, the devil said to the brother, all right, from now on I will not war against you, so that I'm not responsible for your gaining a victor's crown for your patience. And from that moment, the enemy departed from the brother's presence, and the brother wept great tears of sorrow and repentance nonetheless. St. Mark the ascetic said, a mortal sin is that sin for which a person does not repent. That's a mortal sin. The sin you don't repent of. No one is so good and so merciful as God. But if we do not repent of our sins, how can God forgive it? What do we pray at every liturgy in Vespers and Matins? We pray that we may complete the remaining time of our life, right, in peace and repentance. True repentance, brothers and sisters, is a godly sorrow mixed with joy. The blessed joy grief, the fathers called it. It's a godly sorrow, but mixed with joy. We're sad for our sin, but we're turning back to God. We have hope in the Lord. There's a mixture of joy and grief. Abba Isaiah of the desert says, sorrow according to God is by virtue of the joy which it contains, something which enhances your outlook so that you see yourself residing in the will of God. He who whispers to you, where can you flee to be saved? There's no repentance for you. He is an enemy and does all that he can to succeed and forcing one to lose control. Sorrow, according to God, does not condemn a human being, but says to him with sweetness, "Be not afraid, come once more, resume your work for virtue. Come again and repent. Knowing man to be weak, this sorrow strengthens him." The Father continues, "Let us not forget that our Master is merciful and wishes to return man to repentance. He said himself in the Holy Gospel, 'Truly I say unto you, there shall be joy in heaven, even over one sinner that repents.' Seeing that we have at our disposal," says the Father, "then his infinite mercy and the richness of his compassion, let us turn to him with all our heart, and he will receive us in his love of mankind and will make us partakers of eternal life." Brothers and sisters, repentance is the protection, is protection for our soul. There is sin. There's sin in our lives. There's sin in the world. There's sin around us. We breathe in like air. So yeah, our critics are right. We see a lot of sin. But that's not what we're about. We're about repentance. We're about change. We're about a renewal of life. We're about turning to God in the midst, in the face of all the mess of a fallen world. What does Christ say to us? The Father says, Father Isaiah says, "Let us bear the light yoke of repentance, which will instruct us, until by the grace from above, we are reborn and strengthened in the will of God." What does Christ say? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May each of us, brothers and sisters, bear the Lord's light burden, the light burden of repentance, that we may find ourselves again with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Amen.